Tonight, we again have opportunity to open-facedly look into the face of God. With that open heart, the blessing of an open face depicts full trust. With an open face, beholding as in a glass, you know, I would love to sit on the benches and have Jesus preach here tonight. I would really love that. And talk about his glory. And talk about the future life because he fully understands it. But he says we can be changed into his image from glory to glory because there's a spirit that he has sent so this can happen in our lives. And tonight I rejoice in that fact that the Spirit of God is here with his people and he delights in bringing us to God and showing us the will of God, and he is God. He's part of the Godhead. And he understands the mind of God and he directs us in that. And so we rest in that again tonight. I would like to look at one little subject quickly before I go into my message. It's hard to know what to preach on the last night. Your heart's torn in different directions. There's the sober challenge of, is everyone ready to meet God? And if we're not ready and we don't get ready, what does God say happens? And there's the challenge of just normal Christian walk and whether we will continue in the walk. There's the realities of the bliss of heaven, and that's often talked on the last night of revivals. And I'm glad there are many subjects that can be looked at. Tonight I would simply like to refresh our minds with four steps the Bible say lead into hell. One of those verses is in Psalm 9 and verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that what? That forget God. Notice it says all nations that forget God, and America is not exempt. It says all nations that forget God. Around the globe, all the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. That's sobering as I think of that verse. Very sobering. Proverbs 7 and several other passages in Proverbs portray the strange woman. And they say, it says, her house is the way to hell. And just picturing like you get on this path and it's straight into hell. Her house is the way to hell. Dear ones, we must avoid the impurity of the lifestyle of the Americans around us, because their steps lead to hell. In Malachi 4 and verse 1, it says, all the proud, skips a few words there, shall be stubble. Shall be stubble. I should just read that whole verse. Can't think of how it starts right at the moment. Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Doesn't use the term hell here, but it depicts it in the picture of the verse. All the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and shall in that day shall that cometh shall burn them up. Over in Isaiah, I guess I didn't write that reference right here. But he's talking to the people and he says, those who have no knowledge. Let me see, I think I might have it written somewhere else in my Bible. No, I don't. Those who have no knowledge, He says, hell hath enlarged yourself because there's people in your midst, Israel, that have no knowledge about God. And hell hath enlarged yourself because of that. And that's sobering. That's sobering to think that Israel, as a people that was supposed to be taught God's law, and then have those who had no knowledge, and there was a spiritual drought in their midst, and because of that, therefore hell hath enlarged herself, because they have no knowledge. Because they have no knowledge. So that's very sobering as I think of those verses and what God says in terms of hell. I simply will leave it at that. I will write a question on the board again tonight. And I would like us to ponder this question. Not that we want to do this, but that it is a possibility for any one of us. Will you forget God? I trust tonight none of us want to do that. That's why we're here. And if we want to always have that desire to never forget God, it needs to be in our hearts to not forget God. Back in Deuteronomy, just turn over there to Deuteronomy 8. God's talking to Israel here. He says in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I commanded thee this day. Notice how he said they would forget by not obeying, right? That's how he said they would forget. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, here he portrays what happens, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And if we would put it today in New Testament church life, we would say, lest thou forget the Lord thy God that has saved thee and has delivered thee from the Satan and his forces and the bondage that came with that. Because you have so much around you of the blessings of God that you take these blessings for granted and you crowd God out of your life. Is that a possibility for the church today in America? Is that a possibility for me? Yes, it is. We live in an affluent lifestyle. We know that. It's all around us. Affluence is all around us. But are we trusting in God or are we trusting in the dollar? And that's a big difference. God wants us to remember. Verse 18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. And read the Old Testament, it happened. It happened. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Those are challenging verses to me when I read those verses. And you read through the Old Testament, and you know, there's a side of me when I read through those passages, and there's a good king, and the people are serving God, my heart's thrilled. And then when I see him turn, you know, it just... why did this need to happen? It sort of burdens my heart as I read this passage. So sad. So sad, a loving God, a God that blessed them, a God that richly blessed them, a God that cared about them, a God that chose them, a God that was willing to lead them out of Egypt, a God that was willing to protect them from their enemies, a God who continued to do that and showed his blessings again and again. And then they turned their backs and they go worship this idol of this nation beside them. And then God stepped in and tried to help them understand that he needed to be God, and there'd be that revival, and they'd come around again. It's been repeated again and again in history. Not just in Israel. Not just in Israel. Well, tonight, I want to preach on seven things we should never forget. Seven things we should never forget. You know, as I get older, there's some things I forget. I wish I could quote scripture like I could in my 40s. I can already tell a little difference. My memory slips a little bit. And other things. Dates. When I was young, I could remember dates very easily. But my memory is already slipping a little bit. And you older ones probably look, wow, you're pretty young. Why are you saying that? Yes, we can forget some things. But there's some things in the spiritual realm that we should never forget. And even the older we grow, the more rooted we should be in terms of these things. And I trust tonight that as we look at these seven things, your hearts can be stirred in terms of this and renewed in the vigor to continue to remember these things. The first one is in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That is especially geared to you as youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I don't know that I can stress that enough tonight because God's Scripture says it. There's something about our lives. If we devote our lives to God in our youth and the difference that does for our lives, while we have all the energy of youth, while we have the abilities of youth, while we have the vigor of youth to go forward with things, when you're in your youth and you recognize God as your Creator and you give Him the Lord of your heart, there's a real blessing that comes to the lives of every one of those youth who do that. And God bless you as youth tonight, those of you who are devoted to God and are trying to serve God in your youth. God bless you. If there's any youth here that need to commit their lives to God, I encourage you, commit your life to God in your youth. Don't wait till you're older and somehow think there'll be a day when you can do it then. Many have tried that trick and found out it was too late. My mind goes to a youth that lived up in Canada years ago that I heard about. He was from a large family. And he hadn't given his heart to the Lord, and he was challenged by others. They talked to him. He was in his 20s, if I remember right. And they logged. This family did logging. And one day, he was out there on the skidder on those hillsides of British Columbia, and the skidder rolled, and he fell out of it and was crushed by the skidder. It was a sad funeral. It was a very sad funeral. The only if was if he, you know, that's sad. He had opportunity, but he didn't take the opportunities while he had them. And we never know how long we'll get to live. We never know. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. This brings with it accountability. Because if he's our Creator, then we owe something to him. There's accountability seen there. There's an affection seen there. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, he tells us in Colossians 3:1. Remember now thy Creator. And the verse I quoted early, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. You know, how easy is it to forget God? It's pretty easy, according to that passage in Deuteronomy 8. But how can we remember God in our daily lives? That's a greater question I would like us to think about. How can I continue to remember God tomorrow morning when I get up, it's not Sunday, revivals are over. How will I remember God tomorrow morning? Will I get up and I fix my mind on Him and allow Him to speak to me through His truth? Will I look for God's hand at work in the daily activities? Will I look for the answers to prayer through the day? You know, if you start counting the answers to prayer that God gives you every day, it's amazing how big that list gets. Just stop and do it this week. Pray to God in the morning. You know, we often thank Him for our food, and He just gives us another meal after another meal. And we tend to somehow become callous to this, when He's the one that's done it. He so graciously answers prayer in a variety of ways. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus said over there in John, ye are my friends. To be the friend of God is part of remembering now thy Creator. When we remember our Creator, we can be His friend. And I sure don't want to be the enemy of God. I assure you, I don't want to be on that side. Because God hates His enemies. And His hatred comes up in fury in His face, and He deals very sorely with them in the end. Secondly, Psalm 103 and verse 2. Something we don't want to, well, several verses there. I really need to read the first part of this chapter, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Now, I told you this morning that one of the things that you can do and you study your Bibles is look for the same word occurring, okay? And think about what's in the passage and be impressed with maybe just the same word that shows up again and again. I'd like you to think, right here in these first three verses, there's a little word that shows up four times. At least that's how many I have circled right here in my Bible. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That little three-letter word, all, is an amazing word. It is an amazing word as we think of God and His benefits towards us. What would it read like if it says, who forgiveth some of thine iniquities? How would you like that tonight? I wouldn't like that. That would change the context of Scripture totally. That would be a whole different thing. But we rejoice in that fact that God has forgiven all our iniquities. And why wouldn't we want to bless Him for all His benefits towards us? And continue to do that, and that's why I like that song. Don't forget to thank God every day this week. I have someone to thank for every new day because of His gift of salvation to me, etc. God's forgiveness to me. Now, these verses became more special to me because my wife's cousin's husband was dying of cancer. And when his funeral sermon was preached, the person that preached said he had these alls. He said the 100% factor was written right in here beside these verses. 100% factor. And that really challenged me. Here he was, a young man, one child, and had come down and taught Bible school at Pensacola, stayed with us. Right after that, he was diagnosed with cancer. He fought cancer for a year and a half or whatever it was, and he died. But he had written in there that 100% factor. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Does it mean that we cannot bless God unless we are free of pain? No. He understood something, didn't he? All that is within me, bless. I can do that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, even if I'm fighting cancer. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, and he's still struggling with cancer, but you know what? He got healed in a different way. He got an eternal healing. God healed his diseases. Who crowneth who redeemeth thy life from destruction. What a beautiful thing, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Well, that has always stuck with me. That little 100% factor, and challenged me as I thought of that young man's life and how he served God. And was a challenge and put his hope in God in spite of what he was facing. Forget not all his benefits, the power of Christ's redemption, and what destruction we have been saved from. God's many acts of loving kindness and mercy in my life. There have been times in my life where I realized that there was but a step between me and death, and God sent an angel and kept me from that. I remember praying before we left to go north one time and asking God to specifically keep us from other drivers that weren't safe. And we hadn't gone up the road 6 miles, and all of a sudden there's somebody running a stop sign basically right out in front of me. It was close. But I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it happened again here recently this year. I was hauling a load of hay, and I was coming down through close to a four-way stop sign. And all of a sudden, the light was green for me. I say four-way stop, it's a stoplight. It used to be a four-way stop. All of a sudden, somebody's flying right in front of me, and I'm just on the brakes trying to get stopped. The mercy of God, you count them in your own life, variety of ways. Mercy of God when I would make wrong choices and God worked and helped me turn around and go the right direction. The mercy of God. Forget not all his benefits. The rich spiritual food we have that truly satisfies our souls as we come to God. Everybody that hungers and thirsts after righteousness gets filled. Because of what? Because of our God who is able to do that. Forget not all his benefits. Stop and think about it. We could just go all evening. You could share. I like our Thanksgiving services back home. We just go right around the group and everybody says what they're thankful for. You know, it's wonderful to sit there and just hear the different things that everyone says that they're thankful for. Psalm 119, my next point. There are a number of verses here that say a similar thing, almost the same thing. Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 83, for I am become like a bottle on the spoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Now what does quickened mean? It's made me alive spiritually. That's what he's saying, for thou hast quickened me. Go a little further in verse 109. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Verse 141. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Verse 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. And this is beautiful as you think of him writing in terms of the law of God and the blessing that it is to our lives. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. The new life that is ours through Jesus Christ is worked into our lives because of his word of truth. And that word of truth is a blessing to our lives as we respond to it in obedience. This book will do nothing for you if you do like James chapter 1 talks about. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he's okay. But the man that just takes a look and forgets what he saw and goes on, it hasn't changed you. In fact, I like the way that those verses say it. One of those thoughts portrayed there in James chapter 1. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that word looketh, if you look it up in Strong's, it has this idea of to bend beside, bend over, or lean over so as to look within. You stop there, like if there was something right down, I bend beside it and I look down there and look within. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Well, we don't want to forget God's word tonight. Don't want to ever forget what he wants of us. and respond to him in obedience. Luke 17:32, a real short verse in the Bible. Not the shortest, but a short verse. Remember Lot's wife. Why that verse? Remember Lot's wife. Why do we want to remember Lot's wife? Why does he ask us to remember Lot's wife? What was her problem? She had a strong attachment to Sodom. So much so, it ended up destroying her. She turned into a pillar of salt when she disobeyed God's word, flee and don't look back. Flee and don't look back. And there's a real lesson we can learn from that little story. Really, I've been like Lot's wife already. Probably all of us have. Disobedience ends in eternal ruin is what we learn from that verse. And that's what we want to remember tonight so that we avoid that pathway. Disobedience ends in eternal ruin, and this is the only message on her tombstone. Remember my mistake. That's what her tombstone reads. Remember my mistake. Don't repeat it. Remember my mistake. And that tombstone continues to sound out that same message all down through the thousands of years. Remember Lot's wife. Remember my mistake. Don't repeat it today. Don't repeat it today. Get your heart so attached to the things here that your heart is here and you can't be taken out of here. Remember Lot's wife. It does matter whether we obey God or whether we don't. It does matter whether we listen to this word of truth or whether we ignore it. Acts 20:35. On a more positive side, you might say. And yet, all are important. Acts 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian elders. How that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that amazing how that is? It is more blessed to give than to receive. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Why? Why? That's the proverb. Might not quote it quite accurately, but that's the proverb. He's depicting someone who understands this principle that when I give to God, God blesses it eternally. And there's a person, he says, there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. One of those ways that verse can be carried out is by giving instead of hoarding. He's giving, and God makes him rich eternally. Such giving, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Such giving flows out of the life because we have been given much. The person that loves to give is really the person that finds contentment, isn't it not? The person that loves to give is the person that finds contentment. Someone has said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Catch that? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Ponder that a little bit. New Testament, we know that he says, give as the Lord hath prospered thee. And over in Galatians 2:10, Paul writes that we should remember the poor. remember the poor. But to do good and to communicate, that doesn't mean talk, that means reach out, help. To communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. It's a challenge to give. But you know what? When we allow God to get a hold of our hearts, we love to give. Right? Yes, we love to give. And the difference that makes in church life, in family life, in effects, is not just money. It's just the attitude of the person in reaching out to others in their needs. And I'm blessed again and again through the kindness of others, and I'm challenged by others' lives who far excel me in this, I would say. But we don't want to, we want to remember Jesus' words. Okay? That's what was there in Acts 20. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Americans aren't geared that way today. It's easy credit. Get before, you know, that's the pursuit. We need to confront that. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Hebrews 13, another passage in terms of remembering or not forgetting. Hebrews 13, verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And he says this, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Remember to reach out to the strangers and those undergoing physical hardships or adversity. How can we fulfill these verses today? That list should be easy for us to write. And yet it's a challenge to us to open up our doors to the stranger, to pray for those in prison, to go visit those in prison, to reach out to the hurting, the way you would want to be helped if that was you. Sharing a word of encouragement again and again. Giving a helping hand. Just plain downright just giving time for the other person to share the things that are on their hearts and that are bothering them. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. You know, some of the ones that do this the best are the ones that have experienced the most pain. I've seen that again and again. Find somebody that is really strong in empathy, and they've probably had some issues in their health or lost their family member or something, and God has really grown them in that area. We don't have to wait for God to deal with us that hardly to learn. But sometimes it seems like that's when we learn the most. But remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Pray for those individuals who are Christians around the world today that are in prison because of serving the Lord or in the communist country. My mind goes to that verse often as I remember my brethren overseas who are, you know, going through those difficulties and trying to put myself there. What would it be like? Remember them that are in bonds. That's one way I can remember them. I can pray for them. The list goes on in terms of what we can do there. Lastly, 2 Peter 1. Over in 2 Peter 1, Peter is concerned that they would not lose out because of the trial of their faith. He says in verse 7, I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Peter 1. It says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, he's talking about this list that he just talked about, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And what's happened? He hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Did he care what they remembered? Yes, he cared what they remembered, and he was doing his best to stir up their minds, to help them think about what God had done on behalf of them. And if you even went back to the beginning of the chapter, it's beautiful as you think of how he starts out there. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Brother Peter was full of it. When he got to writing and talking about what God meant to him, he had quite the list there.
He had learned a hard lesson earlier in his life, hadn't he? He thought he would never deny his Lord. Lord, I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me before that rooster crows three times. And it happened. It happened so quickly in his life. And he was smitten. He went out and wept bitterly. And he knew what he was saying when he wrote these verses. And he was challenging them in terms of remembering what God had done for them, remembering what God wants to do for us, and never forget that you were purged from your old sins and how those sins had kept us in bondage. And why would we want to turn back to that? Rather remain in the open face situation, looking at God and being blessed by his goodness to us. So what is he saying? He's saying, remember to never stop growing in Christ. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember to never stop growing up in Christ. Why must we grow? Well, we're just like a fish. A dead fish goes downstream. A live fish has to be live to swim upstream. And that's the way it is in our Christian walk. When we cool off and forget about God, we just float along with the current, we'll go downstream. When we're on fire for God and when we're interested in following God, we're going to grow. We're going to grow. It takes effort to grow. But here he says, an abundant entrance is available to all such. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do we fail to think about that and lose our vision and just forget about God so quickly when an abundant entrance has been available to us through Jesus Christ and it's into the heavenly realm? We need our eyes open. We need our eyes opened. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We need those eyes open, where we're ready to receive what God has for us. But you know what? When death looks certain, it's pretty easy to see this, isn't it? Pretty easy to see that reality of things. And I praise God for that tonight, that we have scenes in this life that we visit. You know, just like last week, I couldn't be here at the beginning of the week because I went to my uncle's funeral. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for the living will lay it to heart. Living will lay it to heart. So God is good to us. Tonight, are we going to be individuals who forget? Are we going to forget about, will you forget about God? Crowd him out of your life? Or will you cling to him every day? And keep holding on and endure to the end. For he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Same shall be saved. Tonight I want to again open it up with an invitation hymn. Maybe there's someone here that hasn't given their heart to God yet and would like to. It's your opportunity. Maybe there's someone here who has strayed from God and would like to return to God in a deeper way. God has spoken to your heart and you need help in turning back, cleaning up some things in your life. It's your opportunity. Remember now thy Creator. While there's opportunity, I'd like to again sing the song, Just As I Am. Could our chorister lead it?